This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One thing, I guess, just to bring up briefly, because it's something that they have to address on the other side of this All-Star break. And once again, tonight it just wasn't great. Now, they only have one opportunity in the power play, but did you see any sort of improvement on the power play tonight? Again, they only had 2 minutes of PP time, but it wasn't really great.
I thought they got into the zone a little better, at least. Like, they were at least getting into the zone. But then they weren't holding onto the puck, or I should correct that. They were holding onto the puck too long. They were too slow moving the puck and moving bodies once they got into the zone. I thought they were just too stationary, and Toronto was closing quick and forcing some turnovers. So, step one, I guess, step one would be just keeping possession off the face off. But step two, at least they were getting into the zone a little better with a little bit of speed. But then the issues once they were in there were definitely still there.
And they did have Krejci instead of Hall. Like, they made that adjustment, and entries were better, but small sample size. And now that we know DeBrusk obviously didn't get into the Toronto game, things will change back the way that those dynamics are after the All-Star break when DeBrusk comes back. I don't think there's any reason to think he's going to be held out any longer. Like, he should be back that first game, which I got to double check what date that is, because it's so long away. It's so far away.
I think it's the 11th, I believe.
Yeah, against the Capitals at home. So, as of right now, no signs of setbacks and no reason to think he wouldn't be in that game.
Oh, no. Montgomery said on Tuesday he would be shocked if DeBrusk doesn't play in that game. DeBrusk was on the ice for practice Tuesday in a non-contact jersey. He skated a little bit before practice and then was on practice for about half the practice until they got to special teams work, and then he left the ice. Obviously, since he's not playing yet, he wasn't going to be part of special teams drills.
So when he gets back, like, I would anticipate the Bruins going back to that top nine look of DeBrusk on the right side of Bergeron and Marchand, keep the check line together, put Hall back with Coyle and Frederick, and then obviously Montgomery shuffles the lines around during the games too if they need to, but as like starting points, I would imagine that's their top nine. The fourth line will be makeshift depending on Nosek, Silla for a little bit, but to your point, Bridget, the power play should get back in the sink with DeBrusk there as well. So, obviously DeBrusk didn't play tonight. Neither did Austin Matthews. We haven't mentioned that, but whatever. I mean, we're not going to take anything away from this win by the Bruins. I mean, they were without a, top line forward, and obviously not comparing DeBrusk to Matthews, but the Bruins took care of business, which is good. So they go into the All-Star break, 39 wins, 7 losses, 5 overtime losses for 83 points. And I guess, guys, that's a little bit better than treading water to start the year. So good for them.
Just every time I look at the standings and the record and the points, I just think back to my friends and other people, other like writers in the off season that were like, Bruins aren't making the playoffs, I guarantee it. And like, I almost took a bet with Ryan Garvin, who's another producer at WEI, because he was dead set that the Bruins were not going to make the playoffs. I was like, bro, you are so wrong. It's like $50 on it. And then he kept being like, eh, you know, maybe not. But I would definitely have $50 at this point, would it be safe to say. But before we switch gears, I just wanted to say one more thing that we learned about the matchup with Toronto without, you know, the Austin Matthews thing aside, was what the goalie matchup might look like. So Samsonov and Ullmark going head to head against each other. It was kind of an interesting, you know, goalie matchup, what that would, you're trying to imagine what it could look like in a 6-7 game series. And Ullmark came out looking like the better goalie.
Well, because he is. He is a lot better than either goalie Toronto has. You know, it's funny. Like, everyone mocked Toronto in the offseason when they decided to go with the Matt Murray, Ilya Samsonov tandem. Then for a while, it looked like they'd gotten it right. Like, both of those guys were playing really well. And then I was looking at this up during the game tonight. Over the last month and a half, both of them have save percentages under 900. Like, they have crashed back to earth. And
but Samsonov's record at home was like decent, and like not exactly comparable to Ullmark's record at home, but like those were both two goalies who could play at home very well.
Yeah, he has been really good at home, but in general, it's like if you're Toronto, if you're a Leafs fan, I gotta imagine like you're starting, if you're not there already, you're starting to have the same old concerns of like goaltending is gonna let them down. I don't know how you can feel great about that tandem. I don't think they're in a position to go out and try to trade for a goalie. Like, I feel like they'd rather address other needs. So I guess that, you know, maybe they surprise us and they do try to do something, but they're probably just rolling with those two. And, yeah, you just hope one or both of them get hot at the right time, because other than that, like, I don't think there's a whole lot of hope that they're going to suddenly both be great in the second half or anything. Like, they're mediocre goalies. They might have hot stretches, but they're also going to have stretches like this where goaltending becomes a weakness for them. And if that happens in the playoffs, you're looking at another first round exit.
Yeah. I also, and look, I know Jake Muzzin is not an option for Toronto this year. He's had, you know, incredibly bad luck injury wise, and you know it's tough to criticize Toronto's personnel on defense when their number one defensive defenseman is not an option for them, right? I mean, if you do that to any NHL team, it's kind of like it's tough to overcome. That said, like, I know Toronto's team defense analytically, let's try that again, has been really good this year. I think they're right up there with Boston as far as not like actual numbers wise, but they are, I think, number two or three in a league with team defense. Boston, I think, is just so much better than everybody in that regard. But I mean, their personnel on defense is not that defensively, it's not that impressive either. I mean, Morgan Riley is not a great defenseman as far as actual playing defense, and even offense.
Morgan Riley might actually be their weakest in terms of like actual defense. Obviously, he brings a lot of offense, but
yeah, and you know, Giordano is like an awesome, you know, veteran, but I guess to your point, Bridge, about the goalie matchup, am I mistaken if Boston gets by the first round of the playoffs this year, which we all anticipate them doing no matter who they play, that's the bar they've set, they have to play the winner of Toronto Tampa, right? There's no avoiding that second round matchup, right? It's one or the other. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we'd all prefer to play Toronto, right? On this podcast.
Well, yep. For a lot of reasons. Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. So anyway, if they do play Toronto in the second round, yes, goalie matchup Boston. Most every matchup should be Boston. So Scott, I'm gonna throw it to you. There was a last time we recorded about a few hours later, the first shoe dropped in the trade market this year, heading into the deadline. If you want to discuss the Bo Horvat trade, and you know, the Bruins obviously weren't a part of that trade, and that there's been, you know, speculation about would they have been in on him? Should they have been in on him? So I'll throw it to you if you want to discuss those details, if you have them in front of you, or Bridget, if you have them in front of you. I'll just keep talking until one of you guys has it. But
well, yeah, so Canucks traded Horvat to the Islanders for Anthony Beauvillier, the Islanders' top prospect, Atu Ratu, and a first-round pick.
What a name, by the way. That's one of the best names.
Yeah, great name. As far as the Bruins being in on it, I think the Bruins were in on it. Now, to what extent does that mean? I think they talked to Vancouver about the possibility of trading for Bo Horvat. Do I think, I don't know if they ever made an official offer. I don't think so. I don't think they were going to match the Islanders' offer. Obviously, they didn't. The equivalent offer, if you're the Bruins, there had been, so Elliot Friedman had said in a couple places before the trade happened that the Canucks were interested in Brandon Carlo. So it sounds like, obviously, they wanted a roster player as part of the deal. They got that in Beauvillier from the Islanders. It sounds like Carlo would have been the roster player they were targeting from the Bruins. So if you're the Bruins, an equivalent package probably looks like Carlo, Fabian Lysell, and a first-round pick. Now I think like some of the reporting since then, I think people have said is Carlo an untouchable for the Bruins? I don't know about that. I just don't think they were going to make that trade. And I understand why, because if you make that trade, you're subtracting from your defense. And I think we all agree that if anything, they should add to defense and be looking for potential, whether it's just a depth addition or a potential upgrade to their top six. So now if you trade Carlo away, maybe you get Luke Schenn back. But as I've said before, Carlo to Luke Schenn is a downgrade. Luke Schenn would be better off being your seventh or eighth defenseman. So I understand the Bruins not doing that if that were the package. The other options, if you're looking in that price range to make the money work, would have been Jake DeBrusk or Pavel Zacha. Definitely not doing DeBrusk, not the season he's been having. And Zacha, you just extended him, and we just talked about how good of a fit he's been on this team. There's the considerations to messing with chemistry as well. Again, while I think chemistry can sometimes be overrated, it can't be ignored when you're rolling the way that this team's rolling. So, they don't want to take anything off the active roster unless it's for a clear upgrade. And if you're trading one of those guys along with your top prospect and a first round pick, and Horvat might only be a rental, it's kind of a tough sell.
Yeah, I was about to say, more than anything, if they got the sense that he wasn't someone who was willing to be extended, there's really no point in doing it. If you can't extend him and have him be your option for your top line center when Bergeron's gone, there's really absolutely no reason to do it. So if you weren't 100% sure he's a guy that's not just a rental for you and that you can sign him for however long you want to sign him for, then it's a huge risk. And, the reward is short term. You don't need him. It's more of a long term reward you would get from it, but only if you were able to pinpoint an agreement that you could already kind of have worked out before he comes here. But wouldn't be surprised if he wants to test free agency. And at that point in time, you're the Bruins, you're thinking, well, maybe we'll come back around to the idea of Bo Horvat when he becomes an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season.
Yeah, and they also, you still got to sign David Pastrnak. Keep your priorities in order. I think when Horvat's name was first mentioned, it's natural to kind of be like, oh yeah, well, I mean, that would put them over the top, and it would solidify their need to succeed Bergeron, right? But this Boston Bruins team, they have more than enough high end talent up front, and they have the depth that you need, right? So, offensively, this Bruins team is as deep as there is in the league. Now, you can still add middle six, bottom six depth at the deadline, because you need, because it's never a bad thing to have that. And if, you know, if you find the right player or two, that's great. But defense wins championships. So for my money, it's like, yes, like don't take Carlo away, or, you know, because he's 6 foot five and he's a really effective defenseman, NHL defenseman. So, but if the Bruins are going to add, like, yes, like a significant piece or a significant upgrade, I'd prefer them to do it on the blue line as opposed to up front if push comes to shove. But I think the proper depth moves will be more than appropriate for this Bruins team. So, yeah, I'm glad the Bruins, you know, weren't in on this trade, or the finalists for this trade, I should say. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I also, like, you know, I don't want it to come across as like I'm not valuing Bo Horvat or anything. I really like Bo Horvat, and wrote a column not that long ago how, you know, if the Bruins were going to dream big, like, he should be the guy to go after. But, you know, you don't know exactly what it's going to cost until you see what he goes for. And ultimately he went for, if I were Don Sweeney, more than I would be comfortable giving up, especially with no guarantee that you're extending him. You know, but he's a really good player, but one who's also in a career season, obviously. He's on pace for over 50 goals. I don't think he's ever topped, what did he have last? I don't think he topped like 35 in the past. So having a career year, that obviously jacks his price up. You know, yeah, I think he would have been a great fit. I think he's also a character guy. He's a team captain. Like, he would have done just fine here. I'm not worried about that, but it would be a lot to give up for him. And by the way, not totally out of the question that Bo Horvat gets traded again before the trade deadline, because the Islanders basically now have a month to, A, try to get back into the playoff picture with Horvat, who fills a huge need for them as a goal scorer, but B, to talk extension. I mean, if the Islanders don't turn it around and are out of the playoff picture 3-4 weeks from now and aren't particularly close to getting an extension done, they could very well turn around and trade him again. So, you know,
plot twist.
Yeah, Horvat trade rumors could pop back up. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. It's probably not like what listeners want to hear from me here, because you know, it's a podcast they listen to for Bruins analysis. But I got to tell you, I have no idea what happens with these trade deadlines. All the speculation and the rumors, it's fun to talk about, but at the same time, it can be exhausting, because you think back to last year. Remember the guys we were talking about last year? The Bruins were gonna get, like, you know, it was like, up until the last hour, it's like, well, maybe they get Max Domi, maybe they get this guy, that guy, and until something happens, it's like,
hey, Max Domi's coming around again. He's back on the market.
I know. So I'm just gonna let the deals happen, and then I'll react. All the speculation, it just drives you insane, because you think one thing's gonna happen, and like, who had the Islanders in on this? Did anybody think the Islanders were a possibility?
No one until very late. So, like, that same podcast I mentioned that Elliot Friedman had, like, I think that got posted like less than 12 hours before the trade went down. He, on that same podcast, I think he mentioned, like, you know, I kind of wonder about the Islanders here. They've been looking for an upgrade. Like, Friedman's one of those guys where, like, you know, if he's saying something like that, like, he's actually heard it. So, like, that kind of, like, perked my ears up, where I'm like, ah, the Islanders. And, like, also the Islanders, Lou Lamoriello has always been like this. Like, everything is kept under wraps with them. Like, remember, who are they trying to extend? They're trying to, like, extend someone recently, and everyone's like, oh yeah, the deal's already done. But then, like, 3-4 months went by, and it was like, wait, is the deal still done? Like, what's going on here? It might have been the Barzal extension. Like, everyone was like, yeah, like, it's done, and just waiting to announce it. And meanwhile, like, you're hearing nothing, because whatever Lou Lamoriello does, he just, like, gets everyone to shut their mouths and, like, not talk to people.
Yeah.
And Beauvillier is a lot to give up to. Like, Beauvillier is liked there and has had some really good seasons there.
Yeah, he's taken a step back this year. Like, he's had a down year for sure. But
And it like, doesn't mean thing. That like, his potential isn't there. I think it's still there.
Well, Vancouver will suck potential out of anybody right now. So I don't know if that's gonna help him, but like Lamoriello is like he's made some moves in the last couple of years too. Like he traded away like a first round or two for Romanov, like yeah. You know, Kyle Palmieri and Zajac, he gave away first rounders, and so I mean, you know, the Islanders are like in a weird situation where they've gone for it, but they've never really been, even when they were in the conference finals a couple of years, it was kind of based off like just defensive structure. They're in no man's land right now, and that's a spooky place to be.
Yeah, and they don't really have the defensive structure anymore either, because they moved on from Barry Trotz, and so they play like a little bit more wide open now, but it hasn't really led to more scoring, and they've really had to rely on their goaltending even more than before. So they better hope though that they turn it around, or you know, at least start winning some games, or are in a better position going forward, because that first round pick they gave up, I think it's top 14 protected for this upcoming draft, but then it's unprotected the next year. So like you could see a situation where like they miss the playoffs this year, they don't re-sign Horvat, they don't have to give up the pick because it's, you know, it ends up being in the top 14. So they hold on to the pick for 1 year, but then are like taking a huge step back next season, and all of a sudden you're potentially giving up like a top 10 pick to Vancouver. Like that, it's a risk. Like he definitely took a big swing and took a big risk on this trade. And, you know, they better hope it works out, because it could set them back quite a bit if it doesn't.
Basically with the hope that you do it early enough and don't wait to the deadline, that you're like setting yourself up. You're not too far behind. It's definitely a bold move. I don't hate it for them. I think that once again, I feel like all the potential trades that could have happened for Horvat had high risk involved for the teams that were taking them on. So it was definitely a high risk move for them, but I actually think it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, it's definitely a bold strategy, Cotton. I just think like, you know, the Islanders are just, they've for so long, the biggest knock on them is, you know, they don't have any true goal scorers. And it's like, well, while that's true, they better hope that they extend this kid, because if they don't, it's like, you just look at the standings and, you know, they've played more games than Buffalo and Pittsburgh, and they're behind both those teams in the wild card race. So like, I don't know. It's just, to what you guys said, like they better make the playoffs. Cause if they in hope that he extends, cause if he doesn't and they miss, oh boy, that's tough. That's tough. So anywho, at least they got a new arena, right? Anything else you guys want to go over? I think we're kind of at that point now.
And by the way, their hope to make the playoffs is the wild card. Like they're not, this doesn't make them a team that's like top three in their division. Like it's, this move makes them a wild card team. So, and then at that point, you're really hoping with the eighth spot, we're going to be able to somehow fight our way out of this, this conference and then to the Stanley Cup.
I mean, they've done it though. So like if any team can look at that, you know, they went to back-to-back Eastern Conference finals. I think 1 year they were the eight, 1 year they were like the seven. So, you know, yeah, it's in their history, but as I said earlier, like this team does feel different because that team did it with that defense we talked about, and this Islanders team hasn't had it.
I also think those teams that you're talking about, Scott, they kind of like, I don't know, I think they took advantage of a weird stretch for the NHL. I mean, like, I don't know, I don't know. I mean,
the series against the Bruins was weird to watch.
They were both bubble playoffs that they went to the conference finals, and the second one was not, but it was a bubble season, and then they let fans in like right at the playoffs. So I don't know. I think if they squeak into a wild card, pick who you want to lose to in four or five games, Boston or Carolina, because it's not going to last very long. So I don't know. It's like I said, for the Islanders, they better hope they extend Horvat, because if they don't, then it's just a stupid move. I don't think they're going anywhere in the playoffs even with Horvat. So I don't know, guys. Final thoughts? Anything?
All-star game.
Yay.
Yeah, I don't know if Scott wants to talk about that. I mean, is there not really much to say? I mean,
no, there's not. There's not. I literally just wanted to say All-Star Game because other than that, I mean, we might have a guest for one of our episodes. Maybe try to get Raycroft on for one of our, you know, episodes that we have in between during the All-Star break. We're going to still try to put out some episodes regardless of the fact that there's no games going on because there's other stuff to talk about. And we can bullshit for a long time, as you can see. So,
I mean, a PSA I think worth mentioning is during this stretch of days where there's no NHL hockey, be careful about what you tweet because one Mr. Bradley Marchand, he likes to roll around in the mud sometimes. He's had a field day on Twitter the last few days, so he'll be looking for something to do, I think.
I know. Now he's got all this free time. He's just going to be sitting around scrolling Twitter.
Yeah, the NHL could use about 50 more of him because he's a gem. So, all right, guys. Well, I am all set. If you guys are all set, we can wrap this one up. Thank you all for listening. I guess we can call this the de facto like midway point of the season. I know they played more than half their games, but it's the All-Star break, so a chance here to kind of get some R&R for everybody. And thanks for listening. As Bridget said, we'll touch base again before the Bruins are off for like 2 weeks, so you know, we'll talk before then. But thank you all for listening and enjoy the rest of your day.